Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Beis. We continue with an explanation of the many details that were featured in the Mishnah regarding the disqualifying factors of a lulav. The Dibur HaMaschil from the Mishnah reads, Nifritsu olav, posel, nifridu olav, kosher. Illustration 435 in the Pirush Chai. Pirush Chai is the name of the Sefer, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta. And illustration 435, which you can find in the Pirush Chai on page 89, Nifritsu Olav, is a situation where the leaves of the lulav, as many of you are familiar, has a spine to it, and that's the thick green central part of the lulav running in the length of the lulav, and the leaves are attached to the spine. However, if the leaves became detached and you tried to tie them together, well, it doesn't work. That's the case of nifritsu olav, that's posel. However, nifridu olav, that's a situation where the leaves started to fan out, but they remained attached to the spine. That is a kosher situation. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa, Nifritsu, the case of Nifritsu that the Mishnah tells us is no good, the Ovid Ki Chufya. Chufya is a broom, and you can see that in illustration 436. Nifridu, that we say is kosher, the Ifrid Afrudi. 442 illustrates that situation, and that's on page 90. Boy Rav Papa, Nechleko Hatyoimes Mahu. There are many different explanations in the commentaries as to what this is. So we've chosen illustration 472 on page 95. If you look at illustration 472, that's the central picture, and then the picture right next to it, you would see what has happened, where the central leaf, which is essentially a double leaf, split open. As I said, there are many different opinions and commentaries as to what this is, and the Pirush Chai is rich in illustrations, but for our purposes, this is sufficient for at least a partial understanding of what it is. Rashi says on Nechleka Hatyoimis, Rashi says, Shnei Olim El Yoinim Emtsoim, the two middle leaves, Shisham Hashedra Kolo, it's above the point that the spine finished. It's, in other words, the spine runs up most of the lulav, but at the upper part there's no more spine. It's just central leaves that extend upwards from the top of the spine. So those central leaves, those middle leaves, which are attached, they nechliku zemizeh finistiko hashedra ad heolin shelamata mehem. So, as we say, that you can look at illustration 472, and that's that central picture, and the illustration to the left indicates what we just read in the Rashi. So that's Rav Papa's question. Nechlo katiyomis, what is the din? Ta shma. Notice that we have Roman numerals 1 and 2 a few lines later on the side under our Mivneh heading. The structural note indicates these are two Lishonos, two versions of Yeshua ben Levi. So, as far as the first Lashon, Toshma Yomer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nitlo, there's a girsa that reads to Omar Rabbi Mosun, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nitlo hatiyomes posel. Nitlo means the tiyomes, that the middle leaves were removed. They're not there. So my lav hu hadin nechleka. Are we not to assume that the same would apply to split? In other words, just like if they were nitlo, they were taken away, they were removed, it would be unkosher. So too, if they're split. The Gemara says lo. Nitlo shiny, removed, is different and more serious. Da chosrele, it's missing. Not so in the case where they're split. Everything is there, it's just split. So that could still be kosher. Iko diamri, another version. Omar Rabbi Mosen, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Nechloko hatiyomes, a split tiyomes. We didn't mention earlier, but the word tiyomes has as its root, Rashi points this out, te'umim. Te'umim means twins. It's a double leaf. It's like twin leaves. So nechlok hatiyomis, that double middle leaf is split. Nase kemi shenitlo hatiyomis upasal. It's as if the tiyomis is missing and therefore unkosher. As we said in our explanation, we mentioned the term middle leaves. This is a function of Rashi's explanation. As we said, there are more commentaries on the topic, but Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Shir is not an attempt at presenting actual Paskin final rulings in Halacha, but to present the Gemara explanation based primarily on Rashi. We continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Kapois Tamorim. The term Kapois Tamorim is the term found in the Chumash in the Torah when referring to what we call the lulav, and kapos tamarim, as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, kofus, means something that is bound together. And Rashi adds, kofus masha sheporud mitchila v'ato kofsa, something that's bound together indicates that it was spread out, it was fanning out earlier. Im hoya porud, the Gemara says, im hoya porud, if it was fanning out, or separated. Separated means separated on the upper part, but still attached at the spine. If it was separated, yikavtenu, bind it together. Omale Ravina l'Ravashi, mimai dahai kapois tamorim deluvahu. Ravina asks a very basic question. Who says that kapos tamorim is a reference to the lulav that we are all familiar with? And now you see a series of triangles, five triangles, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, Emo. That's what the word we've highlighted with the triangle. Hatzois chilufiois lezehusa shilulav al pi haposu kapois tamorim. These are alternative suggestions as to what is the lulav as based on the posuk, where you can say there are alternative suggestions as to pshat in kapos tamorim. We know it as the lulav that we all take. Maybe it's something else. So let's continue in the Gemara. Emo charusa. Here the illustrations will be very helpful. Illustration 495 is what's being suggested right now, and this is found at the bottom of page 99. Rashi says, Harusa the caption of that picture quotes Rashi, Pirush Anaf. If it's a reference to the branches of the palm after the leaves have fanned out. And as you can see, this is illustrated in 495. So maybe that's what Kapos Tamorim is a reference to. The Gemara says, Bo'ina kofus v'leko. The Torah used the word kapos, indicating something that must be bound together, and something that must be, one could bind together. Rashi says, "Bo'inan kofus sheim hoya porud yichavtenu vareza porud v'ein ato yochol lechvoso shiwa nofav haprudim kan v'kan nichposim u mismachim eitzel avihem." The what you see illustrated in 495, those leaves have grown outwards so much so that they can't be bound together to the spine, to the central part, to look like a lulav. And Rashi explains, "Eitzel avim shemichu barbo lefisha koshenheim." They've become hardened. So that part or that situation of the palm, the we'll call the more mature branches after the leaves have spread out, is unfit because you have to have the kofus element, the ability to bind it together, to be to cling tightly back to the spine. Question: V'ema ufta. Here we can use illustration 496, and this you can see on page 100. That's at the base, at the trunk or the bottom part of the palm. It's that part where it's just, it basically we call just spine, without any branches, without any leaves growing out from it. Now, that, as Rashi says, "Ein l'cho kofus mihemen," that's the ultimate in bound together. It doesn't have any leaves growing out from the sides altogether. So the Gemara rejects this as well. Kofus, the word when the Torah was kapos, which can mean red is kofus michlal deika porud, that indicates that there is something that could fan out, could split up fan out, as we said. V'hai kofus v'oyimid l'oyim, and this is permanently, ultimately bound together. As we said before in the Rashi, there are absolutely no leaves at this point to fan out. So the potential for fanning out has to be there. And when we speak about the potential for fanning, we mean potential for fanning out and hence the ability to bind together. But you've got to have both elements, the potential for fanning out and then the subsequent ability to bind together. In this case, you don't have the potential for fanning out. Continuing, the emo kufra, Rashi says that this is like the case of harusa. And harusa we explained already in 495, but this is a bit younger. If we read the Rashi together, the emo kufra, toward the end of the narrow lines, he says, "Hainu nami eitz kain harusa." It's like the case of the harusa, "Elo adayin ben shona ushtei shonim, v'lo nis'ave eitzoi." The wood is not that thick. "V'ata yochol lichpoi sanofov ayade igud ulezokfon lemalo le'oigdon im avihem." It still is malleable enough that you could bind them together at the upper parts of the leaves. So the Gemara rejects this as well. Omar Abaye, "Durocheho darkei noyam v'chols nisivoseho sholoim ksiv." And the problem with kufra is, Rashi says, "V'elu asuyim kekoitzim v'yoitzim behem uktsin harbe u'mesartin as yodayim." The kufra is that part of the palm branch that has thorns on it, and taking it would scratch your hands and be very unpleasant. When the Torah says that, when it says in Mishlei regarding the mitzvahs of the Torah, that there its ways are ways of pleasantness and not thorns that pierce your skin and scratch you. Omar le Rava Toisva le Ravina. Toisva is part of the Rava's name. Rava Toisva says to Ravina, "V'emo tarti kapi de tamri." 497. Maybe when the Torah says "take kapos tamarim," it means that what you see in 497. There were two clusters of dates. The Gemara says kapas ksiv. The appearance of the word kapos in the Torah is without a vav, and hence it's in the singular. The Gemara asks, V'eim ochada, so maybe it may take one cluster of dates. The Gemara says, Hahu lahu, a cluster of dates in the singular, kaf, kori lei. That's called kaf, not kapas. So, by process of elimination, if you will, you see that kapois tamorim has to mean our lulav. We continue. Sine har bar habarzel kshera. Illustration 444. This you can find back, if we see how we're moving back and forth in the Pirush Chai. This is back on page 90 at the bottom. Tsine har habarzel. What it is a lulav which whose leaves, the top of each, let's say, the top part of each lower level of leaf just barely reaches the bottom of the upper level. Yet the Mishnah says, Kshera, Omar Abaye, Lo Shanu, the teaching that Sine Habazel is kosher, Elo Sheroshe Shelzeh, Magia Litzad Ikoro Shelzeh, where the top of the lower leaf reaches the bottom of the upper leaf. Aval Ein Roshe Shelzeh, Magia Litzad Ikoro Shelzeh, if the top of a lower level of leaf doesn't even reach the bottom of the next level up, posel, that's unfit. Tanyo nami hochi. We should point out, by the way, that we have seen there's a Roman numeral number 1 opposite the line with Abaye on it, and on the side of the Gemara we have explained the Roman numerals 1 and 2 are shnei lishonis Abaye. Number 1 is Kemazbir HaMishnah. Abaye serves as an explainer of our Mishnah. And in Roman numeral number 2, it's Kemiyashev Shnei Makoros HaSosers. His role will be to resolve two seemingly contradictory sources. So, at this point, then, Abaye explained that the Mishnah that says Sinei Abarzos Kosher is where the top part of the lower level of leaf reaches the bottom of the next level of leaves above it. And to back this up, we have a Tanaic source, Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source, and it'll seem a little odd at first, but the Gemara will explain. It says, Tsine Hahabazel Psula. Vaanan Tlan Shero. This Brisa says that Tsine Hahabazel, which is a type of lulav, as we described with leaves that are short, is unfit, but did we not learn that it's kosher? Hello, Shmamino Kabaye, Shmamino. So, rather, the resolution of these two sources is as Abaye explained. Abaye contrasted the case of the top part of the lower level reaching the lower part of the next level up. That's kosher. The top of the lower level leaf does not even reach the bottom of the upper level, does not reach the bottom of the upper next level. That is unfit. And that distinction helps to explain these two different Tanaic sources. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'ika d'rami le'mirma. This is Roman numeral number 2, where the opening is pitting the two sources, the Mishnah and the Brisa, off of each other, and then Abaye will enter to resolve the contradiction. So this ika d'rami le'mirma means there are those that raise the two Tanaic sources as contradictory. Tanan, on the one hand, our Mishnah says, Sine har habarzel kosher, that it's good. V'hot tanya psula, but the other source says that they're unfit. Omar Abaye, lo kashya, there is no contradiction. Kan sheroshe shelzeh magia letzad ikoro shelzeh, that's our Mishnah that says kosher. And kan, the brisa that said psula, she'ein roshe shelzeh magia letzad ikoro shelzeh, where the upper part of the upper tip of the lower level doesn't even reach the bottom of the next level up. Here's a brief agadic section, and this is a type of obscure Gemara, and we'll have to just translate, leaving the rest for analysis at a different time. Omar Rebbe Merion, Omar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, Another version of names is Amri Lo Toni Rabo Bar Mori Mishum Rabon Yochanan Ben Zakkai. This other version has the following presented as a Tanaic source. Shtei Tmoros Yesh Begay Ben Hinom. There are two palms that grow in the valley of Ben Hinom. This valley of Ben Hinom is next to Yerushalayim, next to the, well, today we would call next to the old city of Jerusalem. The oila oshan mi beinehem, and smoke arises from between them. The zehu shishaninu, and it is with reference to those palms that we have learned Sinei Har Barzel Ksheros. They would be an example of Sinei Har Barzel, that type of palm that is kosher for lulav. The zu hi pischa shel gehenem, and that is the entrance to purgatory. The Gemara continues with a new topic heading. On the side, we have referred to this as Shi'ur Lulav, the dimensions, the height dimension of a Lulav. So the Mishnah tells us, Lulav Shiesh Bo Shloisha Tvachim, a Lulav that has three Tvachim, Kidei Lunanea Bo, sufficient for shaking, is kosher. Now, that's a literal translation. There's more to see on that as we go on. You'll notice diamonds appear in the Gemara, and on the side, we've indicated under our Mivneh heading, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are the names that are featured. They're Chulkim, they disagree, Bema Koleil Dalit Tfochim Shir Orech HaLulav. We speak about a lulav as measuring three tefachim and kedei lenanei abo, and we understand that is a reference to three tefachim that run parallel to the hadasim and the arovas, and an extra tefach kedei lenanei for shaking purposes. This, by the way, if you have access to the Mishnah on Chof Tes Amud Beis and the Rashi over there, we'll read the Rashi together right now. Back on Chof Tes Amud Beis, Kedei Lenanei Abo Meforish BaGemara Shloshet Tvochim Teha Shedra Keneged Orkoi Shel Hadas. There shall be a minimum of three tefach of spine that run parallel to the Hadasim. V'tefach Yoiser Kedei Lenanei Adwina Neanua, and an additional tefach that rises above them, above the hadasim, for what we call shaking purposes. So now we continue in our Gemara, having noted that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan have a machloikis regarding dimensions. So the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shiur Hadas V'arova Shloisha V'lulav Arba'a Kedei shehe lulav yoitze min hahadas tefach. So here the translation is pretty straightforward. The length of the hadas and arava shall be three tvachim, the lulav four tvachim, so that the lulav extends beyond the hadasim one tefach. Rabbi Parnach Omar Rabbi Yochanan, shedroi shel lulav tzorach shiyetze min hahadas tefach. Now, with the emphasis of Gemara markings and the dashed underlining, you can see that Rabbi Yochanan requires a longer lulav, because the extra tefach is not in the total lulav length, but it's an extra tefach of spine. Now, we mentioned earlier that above the spine, the central leaves continue even higher. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you've got to have a minimum of four tefachim of shedra of lulav. Tanan. We have a source, and this source will be brought to question both opinions. Lulav shiyesh bo gimol tvachim kedei lanea bo kosher. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, without all of the commentary that we already gave to the Mishnah, we read the Rashi on the Mishnah, but Rashi on the Mishnah already said that the Gemara will explain all that we said already. But when you look at the Mishnah superficially, it says the lulav is three tefachim in order to shake it. So the Gemara, and that would be a total of three tefachim, not like Shmuel nor Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Ema Ukidei Linaneabo Kosher. The lulav is three, is a basic three tvachim plus enough to shake. Now, what's that plus? More kidi islay, umor kidi islay. Shmuel, according to his pshat, that's an extra tefach in total. And Rabbi Yochanan, as he holds, an extra tefach of spine is necessary for to fulfill the kidei l'naneabo. Ta shma. Now, here we raise a question. You can see there's a question that's focused on Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Shiur Hadas Varovo Shloisha Velulov Arba. The source says that the Hadas length is, the Hadas and Arova is required to be three tvachim, and the Lulav four tvachim. My love, Behadi Olin, is it not a total of four, including the upper leaves, those leaves that extend beyond the shedrus, so that you have a grand total of only four tvachim? And that's not like Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, lo. The four tvachim here is levad mi'olin. It means it's four tvachim of shedra besides the central leaves that will extend even more. Gufa. Gufa introduces a quote from that which we mentioned earlier. Shir hadas varova shloisha v'lulav arbo'o Rabbi Tarfon oimer ba'amo bas chamisha tvachim. As we approach this, we're looking at Rabbi Tarfon, and we should point out on the side we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we have written ad ha-mishnah ha-gemor mevareres. The Gemara will clarify divrei Rabbi Tarfon shenishma ba'ascholo sha'oku shalahadas hei tvachim shiur machmir midai. At first glance, our introduction says that we'll be focusing on Rabbi Tarfon until the Mishnah, and at first glance it seems like he's saying that the Hadas must be five Tvachim, and that turns out to be a very stringent requirement. Omar Rava, we continue in the Gemara. Rava says, Shora le more le Rabbi Tarfon. We would say in English that God should forgive Rabbi Tarfon for what he said. More means his master. The master of the universe should forgive Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Hashta, avos shloisha lo mashgichinan. Later, the Gemara will describe, when the Gemara deals with the Hadasim, mentioned avos is a phenomenon of having a chain-like Hadas myrtle branch. Basically, it's three leaves at each level, and they cover the myrtle branch itself, the stem. They cover it. So to find that, three leaves at each level and totally covering the stem of the myrtle branch, three tvachim is very, means we can't find that. In other words, the minimum three tvachim is so hard to find. Bas chamisha mibaya. Would I be required to find a five tefach thing? It's impossible to find such a thing. So, what does Rabbi Tarfon really mean? The Gemara goes on with new markings. The markings are explained on the side under the Mivneh. These triangles are introduced Ki Oso Ravin and later Ki Oso Ravdimi and later Ravin. These are Shnei Deos Benosei Hanal. These are two explanations or two approaches to the above topic, namely Shitas Hesber, such as of Shitas Rebbe Tarfon. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Ki osa Ravdimi Omar. And he comes to explain Rabbi Tarfon, and we look at illustration 498 in the Pirush Chai. You'll find this on page 100. See measurements, and keeping one finger on the Pirush Chai and another finger in the Gemara, we start with the illustration 498. You can see what looks like a ruler, but what it represents is an amo. The 0 through 6 represents 6 tfachim, 6 hand breadths that will constitute a standard amo. And the caption, 498, quoting from the Gemara, reads, "There amo bas shisha tfachim." You take your basic amo that is made of 6 hand breadths, ase usabas chamisha, convert the same amo length, but break it down, instead of into 6 units, break it down into 5 units. So Rabbi Tarfon will be telling us to take 3 tefachim from a 5 tefach amo. So if you are going to look at that, each tefach in the 5 tefach amo, where the amo is the same length as the 6 tefach amo, so each tefach is essentially 1 1/5 of the original tefachim. So in this, we'll call this new 5 amo, the 5 tefach amo, each tefach is 1 1/5 of the original 6 tefach, each one of those tefachim. So now I'm telling you, Rabbi Tarfon says, take 3 of the new larger tefach for the length of your hadas. So in old tefach terms, how many tefachim is that? It's 3 3/5. Let's read this in the Gemara text. Ki yosu ravdimi omar, amo bas shisha tefachim, ase oiso bas hamisha. An amo that is made of 6 hand breadths, take that same total length of 1 amo, but break it down, instead of the 6 parts, break it down into 5. So each subunit is 1 1/5 of the original. Each tefach of the new 5 amo, 5 tefach amo, each tefach is 1 1/5 of the original standard tefachs. Say mehen shloisha lahadas. Take 3 of these new tefachim, which in old tefach terms would be 3 3/5 tefachs. That will be for your hadas. Vashaar lelulav, and the 4th tefach of the lulav will be one of these new tefachim. So you'll have 3 3/5 for your hadas, and then a 4th one of these new tefachim. So your lulav length in terms of the old standard tefach would be 4 4/5. The Gemara spells this out. Kamo havu lahu. How much is the length of the hadas of Rabbi Tarfon? The hadas and the arova of Rabbi Tarfon. Tlosa utlosa chumshi. That's 3 3/5 of the original tefach. Of the original 3 3/5 of the original tefachim. That having been said, kashya deshmuel adeshmuel. This presents us with a problem. There seems to be a contradiction in Shmuel rulings. Hacha omar v'yiromar Shmuel, and the double underline is used to highlight Shmuel's rulings. Here, Rav Yehuda quotes Shmuel saying, "Shir hadas v'arova shloisha, 3 standard, old-fashioned tefachim." And elsewhere, Rav Huna is quoting Shmuel as holding that the halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon, which would mean 3 3/5 is the length of the hadas. So the Gemara says there's no contradiction per se, simply loy dok. That which Rav Yehuda says, hocha, here, namely Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel's quote of 3 tefachim, Shmuel was being inaccurate. Really, it should be 3 3/5, and that which he says, 3, he was being inaccurate. The Gemara says this kind of answer of being inaccurate exists elsewhere. Amar, the Amrinon Lodok, we will say that a person is being inaccurate, l'chumra, when the inaccuracy is actually requiring you to do more than the halacha expects. Lekula mi amrinan lodok, but if it results in a leniency, would you say something that's inaccurate? and we'll explain. If Shmuel's true opinion is ruling like Rabbi Tarfon, 3 3/5, why, in being inaccurate, would he say all you have to have is 3? That would be a leniency. And when someone's saying something in an inaccurate fashion, if the inaccuracy results in requiring more of you than the halacha, than the bottom line requires, that can be that's acceptable. But here, by saying 3, you're actually requiring less than the basic halacha requires. No one would speak like that. No one would be inaccurate in that direction. Therefore, we come up with approach number 2. Ki also Ravin Omar, in explaining Rabbi Tarfon, Amo Bas Chamisha Tvachim. In illustration 499, we see an example of an Amo that is measured in terms of 5 standard hand breadths. Not 5 large hand breadths, 5 standard hand breadths. Asei oiso shisha. Take that same amo that we just mentioned and break it down, not into 5 standard hand breadths, but break it down into 6 equal units. We're now going to we will refer to these as small hand breadths. So we have 6 small hand breadths in this particular amo. Tsei Mehen Shloisha Lahadas. Now, in presenting things this way, each one of these small hand breadths, in effect, is 5/6 of a standard hand breadth. And now we tell you, take 3 of these small hand breadths. That's 3 times 5/6. Well, what do you come out with then? You come out with 15/6. 15/6 is 2.5. So we're telling you here, say mehen shloisha lahadas, take 3 of these 6, 3 of the 6 small hand breaths, 3 of them for your hadas. Vashar lulav, and an extra 1 of these small hand breaths for the extra tefach of the lulav. Kamo havaluhu. Notice the dot underlining. You can compare this with the same marking we had a number of lines up. According to Ravin, now, how long is the hadas in terms of standard tefachs? Trei upalga. It's 2.5 standard tefachim. The Gemara asks, but sof kashia deshmuel adeshmuel. But we still have a discrepancy in Shmuel, because Shmuel ruled 3 standard tefachim, and now we're telling you. We know that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Tarfon, and according to Ravin's version of Rabbi Tarfon, the hadas is only 2.5. The Gemara says lo dok. That which Shmuel said 3, he was being inaccurate. But how much does the halacha really require? Only 2.5. V'hainu l'chumra lo dok. This is an illustration of, in fact, an inaccuracy, but in the direction of stringency, namely by requiring 3 when all we require is 2.5. So that's an inaccuracy, but requiring of you to bring something larger. The Omar Rav Huna Omar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon. Rav Huna says that the basic halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon, that 2.5 would be enough, as per the explanation of Ravin in his explanation of Rabbi Tarfon. And now we come to the Mishnah that deals with the hadas, and hence our topic heading is Dine Hadas. And the Mishnah opens up with a number of points that are similar to that which we learned regarding the lulav. Hadas, hagozel, vayovesh, stolen and dried out. Posel is unfit, shalasher, shalayadachas. Posel, an idolatry, idolatrous hadas and an hadas found in an idol worshipping city as unfit. Niktam Rosho, illustration 502, indicates this, and this you can find on page 101 in the Pirush Chai, where the top of the hadas branch is chopped off. Nifritsu Olav 503 indicates where the hadas leaves have fallen off. Osha Hoyu Anovov Mrubos, all of this is something unique to the hadas, which is a myrtle branch, and it's a type of bush that produces berries as well. And in 504, you see an illustration of a case where the berries outnumber the leaves. That's posel. V'im mi'aton kosher. If you reduced the berries, you pulled off the berries, so the hadas will be kosher. V'ein mi'matin b'yom tov. However, one is not to do that on Yom Tov. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Mahu e'anaf eitz avos. We're going to be looking at the pasuk that we eventually interpret to refer to the hadasim that we know, but the Torah doesn't use the word hadas. Just like the Torah doesn't use the word esrog, it says pri eitz hadar. The Torah does not use the word lulav. It refers to that as kapois tamorim. The Torah likewise does not use the word hadasim. It says anaf eitz avos. The only variety that the Torah actually makes reference to using the same word that we're familiar with is the Arovis, where the Torah uses the word Arvei Nachal. But as far as the Hadassim is concerned, the Torah speaks about Anaf Eitz Avos and the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon, Anaf Eitz Avos. What is that? Sha'anofov Choifin Es Eitzo. The term Anofov usually means branches, but here we're going to refer to the leaves. So we're talking about a type of tree or bush that its leaves cover the branch. V'ezeh, and what is that? V'ezehu, and what is that? Heve omer ze hadas. That is the hadas, the myrtle bush. The diamonds that appear now under and are explained under the Mivneh, Sidra Shel Hatzos Chilufios Lemahu Zehus Hadas. There's a series of other suggestions of what the Hadas might be, Al Pi HaPosuk, based on the Posuk of Anaf Eitz Avos. The Emo Zesa, maybe it's a reference to the olive branch. The Rashi says, Kulo Olin Arukim, the olive has long leaves, Uritzufin, and in a continuous fashion, Umitoch Shehem Rubin Mechasin Aseitz, and since there are a lot of leaves, they cover the wood, they cover the branch of the olive branch. The Gemara rejects this. Bo'inon ovois v'leka. The Torah requires it to be ovois. And what's ovois? Rashi, bo'inon ovois, maisis sharsheres, a type of chain work. Shiu murkovin ze al ze. That they should be resting one upon the other. And that phenomenon you won't find by the Zayas. So that this ovos is, as Rashi says, they are murkovin ze al ze. They're the tips of the lower level are resting upon the bottom of the upper level, the next level up. The Emo Dulva. Maybe the duva is what the Torah requires. Rashi says duva eats armon. And he gives you a French word for what that is, kaluahu. It's a type of braiding. Aval ein olav ritzufin lechasas kol eitzo. So the Gemara rejects the duva suggestion because of bo'inon anof of choifin es eitzo v'leko. the leaves in that case, in the duva plant or the duva tree, don't cover the stem. The emo hirduf, maybe it's a reference to the hirduf tree. Amar Abaye, the Torah says, "Derochel darchi noyam v'leko." The ways of the Torah are pleasant, and the hirduf is a thorny type branch. And Rashi says, "V'hai mivras boriz es yadayim kikoytsim." It pierces like thorns. Shiroshi olav asin chodin kemachat. The tips of the leaves of the hirduf are very pointy. So taking it in your hand to biyotzei the mitzvah would create pain. And Mishin, the Pasuk says, regarding the Torah and its mitzvahs, it is pleasant. Rava Omar Mehocha. Rava cites an alternative Pasuk for excluding the hirduf. Ho'emes v'hasholom ahevu. And Rashi adds, Ho'emes v'hasholom ahevu v'ze'eno lo emes v'lo shalom shu osui l'sam hamoves. Apparently, Rava understands that the hirduf is used as a poison, and hence it doesn't conform to this description of the Torah as being emes and shalom, honest and peaceful. Tonu Rabbonon. Here we have a Tanaic source that further describes the hadas, kolua, kamin klia. Klua is a term used in often in the context of braiding, the doime l'shalshelis, and it creates the impression of a chain work. Zehu hadas. The double underline highlights this declaration. Zehu hadas. Rabbi Lezer ben Yankev Omer anaf eitz avos. What is that? So that's of course a quote from the pasuk. What does it mean? Eitz shetam eitz upir shove. It's a type of tree where the wood and its fruit have the same taste. Heve Omer ze hadas. That characteristic you will find by the hadas. Tono eitz avois kosher v'shen avois posel. If it's avois, so it's kosher. If it's not avos, it's not kosher. Hechi domi avos. Well, what do you mean by avos? Now, up till now, we've offered an explanation for that, but here the Gemara itself focuses on avos. Omar Rav Yehuda, v'hu dekaimi tlosa tlosa tirpi bekina. That means that there are three leaves at each level. Now, we said level, that is what Tosfos explains. And you can see illustrations of this in 505 and 506. Illustration 505, it gives you Rashi's pshat, where tlosa tlosa tirpa bikino, according to Rashi, means the three leaves come from the same bud, if you will, from the same exact point. Not just they come from the same level, but they come from the same nodule. Tosfos, in commenting on Rashi, says that that is a very extreme, it's hard to find that, and certainly for three tvachim would be very difficult to find that. Rav Kahana, Omar, Rav Kahana says what you would see in illustration 508, afilu trei v'chad. Avos is accomplished even if you have two leaves at one level and the third leaf at a slightly different level. Rav Acha brei de Rava mahader atrei v'chad. Rav Acha was apparently very taken by Rav Kahana, and he would seek out a hadas that had this setup of two leaves at one level and the third leaf at a slightly different level, simply because Rav Kahana said so, said it was kosher. Omale mor bar amemar le Rav Ashi. Now, mor bar amemar said to Rav Ashi, Abba, that's a reference to Amemar, Lehahu, regarding the two and one kind of Hadas branch, Hadas Sheita Kori Le, literally the fool Hadas. The Sheita is a fool or an imbecile. From this you get the impression that he didn't view it kindly. possibly viewing it as puzzle. Tonu Rabbanan, Noshru Roiv Olav, Vinishtairu Bo Miut Kosher. Ubovach Te Avoisoi Kayemes. Well, this source says, if the majority of the leaves fell out, the majority, assuming for right now, and we're going to change this later, but assuming for right now that you have three leaves at each level, so two would be the majority of three. That means that two of each level fell out, and there remained a mute, it's kosher, it's still okay. Uvavashite avosoi kayemes, provided the avoso remains. Well, hogu fakashya. This is inherently contradictory. Amris noshu rov olav kosher, that if the majority fell out, that means you'd be left with one leaf at each level. That's okay. V'hodr toni, and then you tell me, uvavashite avoso kayemes. It's provided, it's kosher provided that the avoso phenomenon remains. V'kevon denasri lutre, once two fall out, leaving only one leaf at each given level, so avos hechi mishkachas lo. How can you fulfill avos? And we mentioned before that avos was three leaves at each level. You only have one leaf at each level. Omar Abaye with a surprise answer says, you can have your cake and eat it too. Mishkachas lo, you can have this phenomenon of the majority falling out and you're still left with three. And we continue at the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. Be'aso mitzro, with the Egyptian myrtle, the kaimi shivo shivo bechad kino. That type of myrtle, of that type of ha'aso or hadas, actually has seven leaves growing at each level. The chinasri arbo, when four, which is the majority of seven, when four fall out, poshu luhu tlosa, you remain, there remains three. And three, we said, was avos. Omar Abaye. Well, Abaye concludes. He says, shma mino, from here we learn, hai asa mitzro, kosher lo hishana, that the Egyptian asa, the Egyptian hadas, is acceptable for the mitzvah of lulav. Hoshana is a term that is a term referring to the mitzvah of lulav. So he says it's kosher for the mitzvah of lulav. Pshita. Well, what Abaye says seems to be quite obvious. More answers. And why do we say it's obvious? Because, well, we had a Tanaic source that in order to make sense of it, the Tanaic source was telling you that the Hadas Mitzra is fine. So what do we learn from Abaye, from his conclusion that it's kosher? So Mahu Detemo, I might have thought, Hoyo V'is Le Shem Levai Lo Miskasher. Since it's called Hadas Mitzra as opposed to Hadas, Shem Levai, Levai means an accompanying name or a compound name. So since it's not referred to as simple hadas, but rather it's called aso mitzra, or hadas mitzra, it's not acceptable. We've learned this in the past, where shame levai could be the reason for disqualifying something. Komash malon, so Abaye tells me that it nevertheless is kosher. The ema hochinami, so Paul says, well, let's say in fact that the shame levai is grounds for disqualifying the Asa Mitzra. The Gemara says, Eitz Avois Omar Rachmona Mikol Mokoyim. The Torah uses the term Eitz Avois, indicating anything that has that qualification of Avois would be kosher. The Torah doesn't use, for example, doesn't say, bring a Hadas, which would then exclude anything that has a Shem Levai to it. It says, bring Eitz Avos, a tree that has the qualification of Avos, bring it. And in fact, the Asa Mitzra fulfills that requirement. And therefore, it's included, it's kosher, and it's not excluded on the grounds of Shem Levai. Before we conclude, let's just go through another couple lines of Gemara before our actual conclusion. Tanu Rabbanan, Yavshu Roiv Olav, V'nisharu Boi Shloisha Bade Olin Lachin, Kosher. If most of the leaves dried out, and there remained three stems of fresh leaves, it's kosher. And when we say shlosha bade alin lachem, it means that there are three leaves on each branch. So you have three branches. That's the number of branches you need for the hadas mitzvah requirement. And on each branch, there are three leaves that are fresh. The Yomar Rav Chista uberoish kol echad ve'echad. The fresh leaves, in order for it to be kosher, must be at the top of each one of these branches. So at this point, we will just want to remind you before we conclude that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We should also point out, we didn't say so earlier, but in the Pirush Chai, the Hadas Mitzrah is illustrated on page 103 in illustration 514. And the likewise, Rav Chisto's din of the three fresh branches at the top of each one of the three branches, in the case that the rest of the leaves dried out, you can see that illustrated in 516. So we did mention that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.